Good morning. I'm Peter Inch along with Steve Gilbert. We are the co-hosts of the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. Thank you for listening today and hope you'll be able to listen every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 as we provide you, our listeners, with some information about your heating, air conditioning, and maybe a little bit about curling. But most important, we'd love to answer your questions, so please send them in to inchbyinch@peterinch.ca, and we will answer them on next Saturday's show. How's Mr. Gilbert?
I'm good, thank you.
Long day yesterday down in Toronto.
Yes, a long day. And I took you at a bit of an excursion to get there.
Yep, we were down at Renai, Canada, which is our tankless water heater provider, and they did some leadership training.
It was great.
And
yeah.
You guys all said I needed to go. So, so there was you, me, Rob Cotto, and Brandon Baldwin.
That's correct, yes.
They were down there, and I think there was more people from London in that room.
There's a lot of people from the London area. Yeah, yeah. It was great to see. Yes.
Than was from, you know, Toronto. So I don't know why they didn't hold it in London versus Toronto, but...
Well, interestingly, too, because you may not have known them, but during the day through some exercises we had to do, we actually had to get up and meet different people, so we actually ended up talking to quite a few of them.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun, and a lot of people who had met us, and one gentleman from Renai who'd been on the Inch by Inch show before COVID.
Yes.
So it was nice to see him again, and we invited him to come back on. Hopefully he will at some point. We also should just mention about Remembrance Day, which was yesterday. You know, we had, the Knights did a great job at their game of always remembering the veterans.
Yes.
And down at the Cenotaph. They had a great service down there, and so we just taking a moment and thinking about that. And even our instructor from the U.S.
was wearing a poppy.
Wore a poppy.
Yes,
and talked a little bit about
yes.
that during his presentation. So that was nice to see.
It was good. Yeah.
And we Team McDonald sitting in first place in the championship round with a 6-2 record. And they've got two more games to go, so.
Yeah, I couldn't get that, we couldn't stream that game last night. We were trying to see it at the club, but we couldn't bring it up.
Well, no, let me tell you, our Wi-Fi at the club is the absolute worst.
Oh, okay.
I won't name the company.
Okay.
But we have talked to them that they need to fix this problem, and
okay.
because... We'll be trying to put the scores up for why, you know, that doesn't take a lot of Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And it will crash three or four times.
Oh, my
the
goodness.
Game.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So that doesn't surprise me that you weren't able to do that.
Yes. Anyways, we had a great game last night against Tom Devaney.
Did you?
Yeah.
Win?
Yes. Considering my best efforts to not win, we won. Yes.
Well, I'm going to talk about in the third segment why I didn't make my game. And I understand, I haven't talked to Dan, but I understand, you know, didn't go well.
Oh, didn't it?
So,
interesting.
I also may up my prize, my money for playing with him, you know, that when I was there, it didn't go well. The week before I was there, we won 10-2.
I see.
You know, but we'll talk about that.
All right.
And Jordan Tennant is going to be on, we interviewed him, and he's going to be on the next segment to give a little talk about he received a milestone in his career and his stepping stones along the way to become a full-fledged HVAC technician.
Awesome.
So we'll be interviewing him.
That's great.
So we got called out on a Renai water heater.
Right.
That was put in, not by us.
Right. Not by us. That's correct.
We were there to do a maintenance on the furnace and air that we had put in years ago. And
yes.
Then we just glanced at this tankless water heater and just started asking questions. You having a problem where it's not heating up? Are you having a problem with... And sure enough...
We had to tag it.
Yeah, there was problems. But maybe you can run through what they found when they took a quick look at it.
So tankless water heaters, if you can imagine taking water, especially in the wintertime in Canada, groundwater temperature is 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And so we have to heat that to 120 degrees within seconds on a tankless water heater. So if you can imagine, that takes a lot of energy or a lot of natural gas. So tankless water heaters have a larger BTU capacity than most furnaces in your home. So in a lot of homes in London, we put in 40 or 60 or 80,000 BTU furnaces. Tankless water heaters are 200,000 BTUs. Like they're massive. They have a lot of capacity. So gas goes through a your little copper gas line that goes into the appliance. Well, that if you can imagine, so much gas can only travel through that tube. So when you have a big capacity like a tankless water heater, it needs to have at least a 3/4 inch gas line running to it, and they only had a 1/2 inch to it. So if it ever went to demand, like full capacity, it wouldn't have enough fuel to be able to turn the burners on to that capacity. So that was one issue. The other issue was all tankless water heaters, just for flow rates, all tankless water heaters need to have 3/4 water line feed coming into it for at least 6 feet before the water heater, and then 6 feet of 3/4 inch water going away from the water heater. If you don't, same sort of thing happens. They can never get to capacity. So, that water heater would just underperform. Even if it had enough gas pressure to it, it would just underperform because it couldn't heat the water that it's demanded to heat. And then lastly, the venting only had one pipe going outside. So it's a cheater vent is what it is, because what they do is they take air from inside the house, combustion air from inside the house, and then run it outside. There was no reason in that. I've been in that house. There's no reason for them not to put the two pipes. So that can cause problems, and the manufacturer may even not want that. So if you open the manual and see that, no, they want two pipes going outside, you have to do that. You can't put in a cheater vent and just take it from inside the furnace room.
So when you're sucking air from the house,
right,
that air has to come into the house, right, somewhere.
Somewhere.
It's got to fill, come through windows, doors,
it'll
cracks.
It'll find a way.
And it's also, you could be drawing in fumes from kitty litter, from paint thinners, from
anywhere,
laundry soap, whatever, into the unit, which will react with the flame, which will then react with the heat exchanger.
Right, and cause problems.
And take that heat exchanger out a lot sooner than it should. So outside air, we say is cleaner air. And when you're drawing it direct from outside into the tankless water heater, burning it and then exhausting it out, it's a closed, high-efficiency system.
That's correct.
But and we see this on high-efficiency furnaces where, people, why are you more money? Okay, well, we are putting two pipes out. They're putting one pipe out, the time and to do that, but it's what the manufacturer requires, and if you're doing the job right.
Right.
Now, we had to price out what it would cost for us to fix everything up.
Well, that was interesting. We just said to the customer, just, they need to come back and they need to fix this. And he said, they actually said they give authorization, they will pay for the repair for you to do it, which is really strange. So we gave them a cost to bring the water heater up to specs so that we could clear the tag. And he was paying us, and then he was being reimbursed by the installation company for that repair.
And he had to pay about $1,400.
No, it was more like $2,000.
So there, was the price difference of buying it from us to someone else $2,000?
Well, it's hard to know, right?
Right.
Yes.
But it's, to get it done right, to get it done properly, sometimes it costs more, and that company was out of Toronto.
Yes.
So they weren't driving down to fix this. They put it in, got their money, left, and then, oh, you got problems. Well, try to find somebody local to fix it and send us the bill.
Right. So something else goes wrong with that water heater. They're not coming to service it, right? They're just passing it off.
And that's why we say deal with a local independent company like Peter Inch and Associates Heating Air Conditioning.
That's correct. Yep.
Well, we're going to be talking to Jordan when we come back. You're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. When we're not on the radio, you can reach us at 226-499-3752 or always online at peterinch.ca. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. We have our special guest with us today. Jordan, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a little background about yourself? Who you are, what you've been done before coming over to Peter Inch and Associates?
For sure, Peter. So the bulk of my work experience comes from the restaurant industry. Spent about 12 years there at Milestone's Grill and Bar. Got a lot of great experience kind of working my way up from fry cook into the chef position. And really, really excited to make the transition into the heating and cooling industry and kind of take that same stepping stone of working my way up from in the past there.
Now, you just received a milestone, your first milestone of many, but what did you just receive?
Yeah, thanks for that, Peter. So one of the first steps in getting into the heating and cooling industry here is obtaining your gas technician's license. So I was just recently able to get my G3 certification, which is a great step in the right direction to get my career going here.
And G3 for a lot of people out there is like a beginner's and driver's license. You need someone there with you to make sure that you're doing things properly, or someone you can call and talk to. And what your G2 is like getting your driver's license now, even though I think a driver's license now is called a G2, this is a different thing. This is a gas license. But you've got how many more weeks of schooling for you to before you'll be writing that exam?
Yeah, so I have 5 more weeks of schooling, I want to say 8 more modules to complete there, and then on January 27th of the new year I'll be writing my G2 certification.
And you're doing that at Highmark here in London?
Yes.
Can you give us a little background on what you think of the program, because you're one of the first from Peter Inch and Associates to go through that?
Yeah, as I understand, the school's less than a year old, and it's been a great experience. The teachers there, I can't say enough about it. You get lots of theory experience in the classroom and lots of hands-on experience out in the shop, and I couldn't say enough about the instructors there. You definitely picked a great space, or a great place to send me to.
And we were down at Renai leadership training, and who happened to be sitting in the room but Bob. He was down there with his brother, and they were sitting through going through the leadership training that myself, Steve, Rob Cotto, Brandon Baldwin, we have 4 of us were down there and going through that. So it was nice to see that they're taking that leadership as important as they are taking the technical side. So
100% seems like they're very involved in the trade still, which is great for me, learning from very experienced people.
Now, you've been out doing installs since the summer. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing when you're out there working with either Brandon or Luke or any of the other guys.
Yeah, for sure. So in the HVAC helper position, a lot of what I do is just being there as a support for the guys. But the great thing here, our team is so welcoming and willing to train that I've actually gotten a lot of hands-on experience with a lot of supervision as well. So kind of started off doing a lot of outdoor work in the summer, working a lot of air conditioners. Obviously, that's the season when we're putting a lot of those in for sure. Got a lot of great heat pump experience too with our sales team doing a great job of pushing those out as well. So recently since I started gas school, I've gotten to get inside the home a little more and get a little more experience on furnaces and humidifiers, just all the different appliances and accessories that are gas fired.
Yeah, the heat pump is, I mean, when I first came on back in, the late 70s, we were doing heat pumps. But so we've done heat pumps since, I'm going to say 78 onward. So to us, heat pumps are part of our life. But in a lot of companies, heat pumps are new. They haven't been out there before. Training and that on them isn't there. So I believe you've got to step up with us putting those heat pumps in. And we had a new gentleman start this week, Dave, who was working out with you guys to learn. So you've become from a student to now becoming probably a little bit of a teacher out there.
Yeah, for sure. I've been able to show Dave a little bit about how we do things here. Dave comes with a lot of great experience, and it's actually great. Him and I are at similar levels of education, so we're actually both preparing for the G2 right now. He writes his a little earlier than I do, but him and I have been bouncing a lot of ideas off each other and just helping each other get prepared. It's nice to really talk about the codes and whatnot and really apply them to the field when you're out there.
Now, I gave you a lot of time to prepare for this, right? I sat down, worked with you for a week. Is that how this worked?
For sure. Yeah, it didn't throw me into the fire at all, Peter.
So you've had about, what, 5 minutes?
No time to prepare answers.
That's and we do that so that people come and are more honest than trying to put canned answers or look at a piece of paper and read something. I'm going to ask you to give a testimonial on what you think of Peter Inch and Associates.
100%. Yeah, I could not say enough about the organization. When I was out looking for HVAC helper positions, you were the one, Peter, that was willing to take a chance on my attitude, take a chance on the potential that you saw. And, I'm going to be hopefully paying that off for quite a while it's not the easiest trade to get into, especially when you're getting into the education side of things. But I definitely cannot say more about this business. As I mentioned before, everybody's very welcoming. It's a great environment for learning, and I would say learning things the right way. I feel like I'm getting some of the best possible training I could get, and really learning how to put nice installs into our community here in London and surrounding areas.
And if you were talking to someone about, let's say to come and work here, to be, what would the story be about the place? Like what would you're in an elevator and you got 5 floors and then you're going to get out. What would you say to them?
Oh, I'd say it's a family-run atmosphere. Definitely, we still are the place you should go for that family service. It's pretty hard to find that direct customer service these days. So just working here myself, I feel like I'm working for a business that's been in the community for quite a while, has its roots there, and it's definitely a great place to learn.
Well, thank you. And we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to look for people. But I think one thing you said that was very important is attitude. I said, we can train everything else, but we can't train attitude. And you've got to have that right attitude when you come through the door and ready to work and get things looked after. Now, you've seen a variety of stuff. We've done, of course, carrier furnaces, heat pumps. We've done tanklesses. Navian and Renai, and we've done HRV, I think you put in on one job, came in on a Saturday to put that in. So you're seeing a lot of our industry equipment and different things, and you've taken out a lot of stuff. So what's the biggest thing you've seen, let's say, from the old to the new that's kind of stood back and went, wow, that's different?
I would say the big thing is from just the education side of things, the amount of safety features you see on a lot of the newer units, between pressure switches, limit switches, things like that. I feel good putting those newer carrier units into a home, knowing that if there is any issue with the system, those switches and whatnot would catch that issue, and we'd be able to come by and correct it. You definitely see on some of the older units there's less of those safeties, and it's definitely better if you're having any questions about an older unit to upgrade to the newer stuff for sure, because it's probably going to be a little bit safer for you.
Well, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the third segment, about a safety device that kicked in on my daughter's furnace and ended up providing her with no heat, but that's we'll definitely be talking about that. So you're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates, Heating and Air Conditioning. When we're not on the radio, you can reach us at 226-499-3752. Thank you, Jordan, for coming on, and we will be right back after these short messages. Welcome back to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. So that was a great testimonial that Jordan gave, and congratulations on him getting his G3.
Yes.
And look forward to him writing in January with his G2.
Right.
Jordan mentioned that one thing he noticed with the newer equipment versus the older equipment is how many safety devices are on the newers to protect people. And I told him I was going to talk about one that happened to my daughter on her furnace.
Okay, what happened to Justice Virtus?
So it's like about 7:30. I'm just getting ready to head to Curlin. We got the 8:45 game, and my phone rings, and Dad, I got no heat. Okay, you know, did you check your thermostat? Yep. What about the filter? Remember, the filter was plugged in the summer with your air conditioner. Well, it's a little dirty, but it's not really dirty. And I said, okay, well, turn the furnace switch off. Let's wait 5 minutes, turn it back on. If you don't see the burner lighting, look in the little hourglass and call me back. So she called back. So Dad throws on his cape, jumps into his, his Batmobile, heads across Southdale to get down and see her and walk in and where's your old filter? Why do you need to see that? I said, I need to see your old filter. So it wasn't terribly dirty, but it was dirty. So I went, oh, that really shouldn't have caused it. Start checking it all over, but don't have any meters or anything. So called Mr. Cotto to come up. Said, he pop over, take a look. Now I'm looking at my clock. Curling game's getting closer. Called Dan and, hey, Dan, I'll get there. Might not be there for the start of the game, but let's see what we can do. So when Rob got over, he ended up finding out it was the rollout switch.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
And it sits on the bottom of the burner box on that model Armstrong, and it had rolled out. So the burner box had got too hot.
Right.
Could have been caused by?
Filter.
Filter. Could have been caused by when I opened up the burner area, there was some leaves in it.
Oh.
So the vent could have got plugged or sucked in some leaves at that point, and they could have lit on fire, got the burner box a little hotter than what it should be. But we couldn't really determine anything except maybe the leaves and the filter. So it is a resettable one, so we were able to reset it.
To see if it happens again.
Get them heat, stayed there till 10, waiting to see if it would roll out again. Nothing happened. Dan called, said, you don't need to come. I said, Dan, you're off the ice a little early. Yep, no discussion. Don't need to come. So we obviously lost, and we lost quickly.
I see.
So we just stayed there, watched the unit a little more, and then didn't seem to roll out. And so far, 2 days later, still no issues.
Oh, okay.
But safety devices are important.
Absolutely.
They kick out for a reason, and changing your, she has a 1-inch filter, changing your filter every month.
Well, she's a 1-inch, yep. Well, for her, yes.
And yeah. She said, well, Dan, her fiance said, well, the thermostat told me to change it, and I did, but I never reset the thermostat.
Oh.
So I said, well, what's today? This day, every month, is change filter day. So you don't need a thermostat to tell you. You don't put it in your calendar every November 8th or whatever the day is. Go and change your filter.
Yes.
So hopefully, that's twice now that Dad's been called to rescue for a dirty filter. So we,
You should have just sent Filter Man.
Yeah, should have. I got a picture of Filter Man. He may make a reappearance.
Is that right?
In a presentation.
I see. So, in a presentation. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't decided. It's there, but it could be deleted or it could be saved.
Interesting. Okay.
We'll see. And we never talked about Facebook, of course. We're up 5.
Up 5? That's huge.
639 people following us on Facebook. So
we're on our way. Move on our way. Keep out of the way, people.
Yep, keep moving. We want to keep it going. Now, we had a couple more questions come in. One was said, the little pump that is beside my furnace has a clear line that goes to my laundry tub. It's black and dirty. How do I clean it or maintain that pump?
That's a good question. I mean, you could, we don't want you to take it off, so don't take it off. I mean, taking it off, you could take it off and run some hot water through it. You could just add, you could add something through the into the pump, and so we would recommend some vinegar. But if you put vinegar into the pump, please chase it with water. So add a cup of vinegar, and then add some water, and let it get into the line, and then just let it, it can sit there for a bit. You can just, if you did that regularly, that black would eventually go away. It's just because of the dirt and everything that gets in the pump, and some probably a little bit of bacteria. So I mean, it's not harmful. It's just in the drain line, but it's kind of unsightly. I understand what they're thinking, but so. You could just put a little vinegar, but then chase the vinegar with some water so there's no vinegar sitting in the pump. We don't want that to happen. And don't use bleach. I mean, everybody uses bleach because they think it keeps things cleaned. The bleach will absolutely destroy that pump.
Well, then we could sell more pumps, Steve.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still not going to say you don't use bleach. I mean, even if you did use bleach, it's the whole thing. Don't let bleach sit in the pump. If you put some bleach in it, then put water in it to get the bleach out of the pump and get it through the line. That's the most important thing, not to let it sit in the pump.
And should it be cold or hot water?
Well, you can use hot water. You can't use boiling water because that's too hot in those pumps. You'll ruin them. But you can use hot water. Just be careful. Not 200-degree water. You could use 120-degree water would be fine.
Yeah, and you put it in, let it pump, fill it up again, let it pump, fill, you know, because you want the first couple times it's going to start to loosen up what's in that
yes.
line. And then the next couple times we'll start to flush it out. Yeah. Now, you'll never get it perfect, right?
No, it won't be ever. Ever will never be perfect.
Yeah. So the, but, you know, that's something that we definitely, you know, recommend getting a maintenance done on that all the time. Now, another call that came in, I don't know what they're, why they even sent this to us. Like, I don't know what they're thinking. It says, is an AC cover really necessary? Like, hello, an air conditioner cover is always necessary. Now, a heat pump cover is never necessary.
We're talking about heat pumps these days, so people are just kind of wondering. But, you know, and that's going to be a shining star for me because, you know, once we get to the heat pump era and there's nothing in out there but heat pumps, what are you going to do about your air conditioner cover sales?
I'm going to frame it, put it on the wall. but air conditioner covers for air conditioners should be. I mean, especially with all the leaves and the rain and everything. You know, hurricanes coming through here and
all that. What are you talking about?
Well, all the rain we get from hurricanes. Starts as a hurricane, and by the time it gets here, it's rain. So
okay.
But get it covered. Don't wrap it in plastic with duct tape. I've seen that, taking the dog for a walk, and I want to knock on the door and say, you're destroying your air conditioner.
So knock on the door. Knock on the door.
You know.
What's stopping you from knocking on the door?
Well, the dog, first of all.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's not one to stop.
Maybe people would be more intimidated if the dog told them to change, put a winter cover on, right?
But it's definitely, you know, drive by Byron Boulevard, look at my cover on there, how it looks nice. And, you know, it's covered, protected, waxed, looks like a brand new air conditioner. When I get rid of my air conditioner, people will think it was a brand new one. It's only a couple of years old.
Oh, please.
I'm telling you. Honestly, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, the Breyer's still coming in March.
Was there a chance it wasn't coming?
No, ticket sales for individual games are online now. Great Christmas gift, stocking
awesome.
Stuffer. Ticket sales are going really well. We're very happy where they are, but we know, you know, before Christmas here will be a big push, you know, and I'd like to sell the place out.
You're very happy. You could be happier, though, right?
Yep, always could be happy.
All right.
So you're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. When we're not on the air, you can reach us at 226-499-3752 or always online at peterinch.ca, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. So this week we've been doing some commercial work, or this past week we've been doing some commercial work.
Yes.
Put a rooftop on.
Yep.
What's entailed in replacing a rooftop unit?
So a rooftop unit, for anybody that's wondering, is if you look at a strip mall, you'll see you just see a big box on top of the store. That's a heating and air conditioning unit. So it's called a rooftop unit. So in order to get one of those replaced, there's quite a bit of work. It involves your staff. It involves the manufacturer getting the right unit, because keep in mind all rooftop units have a different. We call it a footprint. So if you had a Lennox rooftop unit sitting on a roof, and the customer wanted a Carrier rooftop, that's fine. You can typically do that, but you have to get the footprint from the Lennox and transfer it to the footprint of the Carrier. So we call that an adapter, and so that has to be manufactured. So if you're changing a rooftop, you'd have to have an adapter made. So that just involves doing some measurements and giving them to the manufacturer and just say, this is what's there, this is what we want to do. So all that's made. And so all that gets shipped to what we do anyways here is we ship that all to a crane company that we use. So they receive the adapter and they receive the unit. And so then we schedule a day, we just hope the weather's right. We can't predict in the future when the weather's going to be beautiful. So
you don't have a phone, like a direct line to Mother Nature?
I don't. No, we just kind of look ahead and we go, because the customer wants it done, and then, you know, so we do our best. So then what happens, our guys will be on site. What they have to do with the old unit, they got to pull all the refrigerant out of the old unit. So that's done. And then the crane will arrive with the unit and the adapter. And then really what they do is the crane comes, and it's quite something to see. They'll rig the old unit and pull it off and drop it down onto the ground, and then they'll rig the new adapter, put the adapter on, then rig the unit and put it on. So once that's done, the crane's usually there for, the crane's there for an hour, maybe 2 hours tops, and then off they go, and they usually take the old unit with them and take it to the scrapyard. And then the guys have to get this brand new unit, and they have to put electrical to it, gas pipe it. Then once it's all, then they got to commission it. So commission it just means start it, get it running, make sure everything's working properly. So, and test it. So all that's done. And then because it's commercial and because they're on a roof, all the guys have to wear hard hat when they're doing that. We don't have to do that in a customer's home, but on a commercial site, hard hats are always required. So you'll always see, not that a hard hat's going to help them if the unit falls, if it broke from the rigging and landed on them. The hard hat's not going to help them. But for it's required on a commercial site. So you may see our guys on a roof, and if they're on a roof, they should be wearing their hard hats, and they'll be working on a rooftop unit. So not only do we replace rooftop units, we service and maintain them as well. So that's the commercial side of our business. We just do light commercial work, nothing industrial or heavy. We did one of those just this past week, and the guys did a great job.
Yeah, and at the same place, they had two cracked heat exchangers, so we replaced two heat exchangers.
Yep, two heat exchanger failures.
A rooftop unit, yep. And then did a...
And then a refrigeration circuit was wrong, so they had to fix that as well.
So there was, on four units, roughly, fixing on that one complex. So.
Yes, yeah.
But maintenance isn't needed on rooftop units or on commercial units.
Well, it's very important. So we offer either twice a year or four times a year. And the reason we go four times a year is for filter changes. So depending on the company's environment that they're working in, that filter may need to be changed more often than, let's say, one that's not such a bad environment. So we offer those services. So in the spring and the summer, they do a furnace, they do a AC checkup in the fall, furnace checkup, and then we would change filters at both of those times, but also if a customer needs it, we will also do two other filter changes.
And if people notice, or maybe it's just I notice, the commercial units really get hail damage on them.
Well, we have had instances where, they are not protected, so there are things on rooftop units that we can put in called hail guards. So because if your unit really gets hammered by hail and all those aluminum fins get bent over, it's not going to cool like it was. So You can fix that. I mean, it's painstaking. It takes a lot of time because if you can possibly comb those out, great. But a lot of the times the damage is too hard and you have to replace the whole condensing or evaporator coil. So they do make hail guards. Typically, if you've had it happen to you once and you've had to replace an evaporator coil, then you're probably going to put hail guards on your second one.
Yeah. And we're seeing it more and more, these wild storms. So it's something to definitely think about when you're buying new units. Now, we also did a infrared commercial job in an auto body.
Yes. So customer, their 20-year-old infrared system had failed. And so we got called out. So we replaced... But we put in a 40-foot infrared tube and a 60-foot infrared tube. So, and they were nice because we used 2-stage burner units on those. So, just like a 2-stage furnace, on a day like this morning, if the heat needed to come on, it could just go into low fire and not burn as much fuel. But as it turns colder, if it needs it, it's got a second gear. So.
So how does infrared really work? It heats up the air?
No. Well, the air gets heated only because of the objects that are heated. So infrareds are just, they're like a long tube with a reflector. You see them at really arenas or things like that. You'll stand in front of it and you'll just feel warm. It's like standing in the sunshine. So they're extremely efficient. If you can imagine like an auto body place, it's a lot of area. So there's a lot of area to heat. If you're trying to heat the air, you can. But once the door rolls up to let the cars out or bring cars in, all that heat that you've just paid to heat rolls out the door with it. So it's not very cost effective. So what they've found is infrared tubes, because they heat the objects, when that door goes up and door comes down, people still feel comfortable because it's the objects that are hot. So the floor is warm, the toolbox is warm, you feel warm because you're like standing in the sunshine. So infrareds really have they're great. They have their application. They're not for everywhere, but they're very extremely efficient, and they're great ways of heating large areas very economically.
So if people are looking for us to do commercial work, now light commercial, not light factory.
Commercial. No industrial, no factory. We just don't do that.
So they can give us a call at the office and 226-499-3752, and we can book some guys to come out and take a look at that and see what we can do. Now, we've had, when you were talking about sunshine, we've been having a few people call us saying, you know, my thermostat's set at 21 and it's 23 in my house.
Right.
You know, what's wrong with my furnace?
Well, nothing wrong with your furnace, except you've probably got the heat set. And so if you've got the heat set, your thermostat's doing exactly what it's supposed to. Like, the furnace isn't going to turn on until it drops below 21. So it's not stopping the house from heating up. And so, you know, your thermostat, even though you have it set, you could have it set for 18, but if the solar gain on the house, the sun comes out, that house will warm up. So sometimes you can set your thermostat to what we call auto. And so what auto is you can set the heat, and you can set, you done? And you can set the cooling. And so what that does is it kind of keeps the house in the sweet spot, so to speak. But you can't, the thermostats don't allow that to get too close. I think the best you can do maybe a degree and a half Celsius, so 3 degrees Fahrenheit temperature difference. So if you want it 72 in the house for heating, that means you're not going to be able to put it any lower than 75 or maybe 76 in the house for cooling, or 20 and 21.5. Only because if you get them too close, then the units just will constantly compete with one another. Your furnace will come on, then your air conditioner will come on, then your furnace will come on, your air conditioner will come on. So that's not what they're trying to do. So sometimes customers will have it set at 21. It's 23 in the house, but they're in auto mode. And if it went to 23.5, the air conditioner would come on and bring it back down to 23. But they just maybe don't understand that. So, and you can't, you know, we get them as tight as what customers want, but you just can't get them so that they're competing. Actually, the thermostat manufacturer won't allow that because of that.
Yeah. Well, when we're not on the radio, you can reach us at 226-499-3752 or online at peterinch.ca. To listen to this show or any of our shows, go to peterinch.ca and hit our podcast button at the top of the homepage. As we say at the shop, life is hard by the yard. Buy from Inch. Life's a cinch. We'll see you next week.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.